I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, and the privilege to know that Thou art our Father, and that we can come and from our hearts we can, because the Spirit of God dwells within us, we can say our Father. And we're thankful that You are our Father, that we're Your children because of the amazing grace of God and what You've done to redeem us from our sins in sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth. We're thankful for eternal salvation. And we thank You, Lord, for the salvation that we experience each day. Thankful for all the different ways that You deliver us from troubles and problems and the way that You help us in the midst of the fiery trials, that You're always there to uphold and strengthen and bless and to comfort. And we pray that You would bless all of Thy people this day. You know the needs of each one, those who have lost loved ones. We pray that You would continue to comfort their hearts, give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Pray that You bless all those families. And we pray that You bless those who are sick and afflicted. We know that Thou art the great physician and that Thou hast all power. And we ask You to touch and heal and lift up and bless those who are sick and restore them to their health. And we know, Lord, that as we get older, that we have ailments and problems and troubles, and we're thankful that we can still feel Your presence with us each day, even in the midst of troubles that Thou hast promised that when we pass through the waters, they shall not overflow us, and when we pass through the fire, that the flame will not kindle upon us, and yet we have afflictions and troubles, and yet we're cast down and not destroyed. We pray that You would bless our nation. We ask Thee, Lord, to forgive us as a nation and have mercy on us. We pray that You would bless us this coming Thursday as Thy people join together in a special time of prayer, that You would bless and help, and that You would bind us together with Thy love in a special way that day. Continue now to bless us as we try to study Thy holy word this night. We ask that Thy Spirit would be our teacher. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come tonight at the feet of Jesus asking You to fill us all with the Spirit of God, and also bless us in the baptismal service which is to follow. We pray that You would bless Sister Robin. We thank You for her life. Thank You for the Spirit of God that radiates from her life. And we pray that You would bless her as she begins as a member of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, that she would be filled with joy and peace, that You would bless her as You alone are able to do. Again, now bless us as we read and study Thy Word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I would like to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. The Word of God says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." It's a marvelous way that the Word of God compares the church to a natural body. He comes on down and he says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." And he's talking here about the body of Christ or the church. And that though we have many different members, though the church has many different members, that every member of the body, God placed them in the church. And as God has placed them in the church, all of the members of the body, they are, the way the Word of God also describes it in the book of Ephesians, is that we are fitly framed together. Just like our natural body. We have fingers and toes and arms and legs. We have eyes and ears, a nose and a mouth. We have all the different organs in the body. Isn't it amazing how the body all works together? I can't raise my hand right now without other members of the body working together. My fingers can't function without other members of the body working with it. Likewise, in the church, we are all one body, and yet we all differ within that body. God has given different callings and different gifts. God has given different purposes for every member of the body. There are not a lot of different members that have the same work. We all have a particular work that God has given us in the body of Christ. And the main thing that I believe he's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the primary thing that he's talking about is unity and the importance of the members of the body working together and laboring together as a body. He cautions the church at Corinth more than any of the other churches. He talks to them about how there were divisions in the body. Did you know that there are sicknesses and illnesses that you can have, like leukemia and cancer and other things like that, where parts of the natural body begin to work against other parts of the body. The white corpuscles can begin to attack your red corpuscles, and you can have great sicknesses and you can die when there are divisions in the natural body, or when the body begins to attack other members of the natural body, your physical body, then the body can die. Likewise, in the church, when there is friction and division in the body, it has to be worked out. Back up in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As he is the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, is the Apostle Paul talking about how we all have different callings, we all have different functions in the body, but we all have a purpose in the body. Is he also teaching the importance of unity in the body? He also goes on, and I didn't go on and read the rest of that chapter, but he goes on and says, now, when one member of the body hurts, the whole body ought to hurt. And if a church body is functioning the way the Word of God teaches it should function, then when one member of the body is hurting, the whole body is hurting with that member of the body. And likewise, when one member of the body is rejoicing, there's not jealousy over that member, but rather the whole body is rejoicing with that member. And even when a member has been erring from the body, and there is repentance of that member, the Word of God teaches that there is great rejoicing in heaven over every sinner that repenteth, and there also ought to be great rejoicing in the church over every member that turns from their evil ways. Now if we back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's marvelous as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, now this is the way it's supposed to be in 1 Corinthians 12. But if you begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you're going to find that's not the way it was in the church at Corinth. Back up now and look in your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen please to verses 10 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Let me just pause right here and ask you, can a church function if you've got all different kinds of beliefs in the church? Can a church function that way? Absolutely not. Well, how can we all speak the same thing? How can we all believe the same thing? The way that happens is when a church body is taking the Word of God and looking to God for the strength and the grace and the wisdom and the understanding that they need, and then we will all be speaking the same thing. I am amazed sometimes. I know one time I went to California and preached in several churches up and down the coast there, and it amazed me that there were men that were thousands of miles apart from us, And yet each church that I went into, they had the same beliefs. They spoke the same doctrine. They preached the same truth. They understood the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you, brethren, it just is amazing that you can sit down with brethren and be of the same mind in the Word of God. And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Were there divisions in the church at Corinth? Do you see one of the other reasons now that he gave 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was to say, now this is the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a body that just, you're like a machine. You know, I've never understood engines like Brother Robbie and Brother Mike and different men in the church. It's amazing to me that you can turn an ignition and crank up an engine. Isn't that amazing to you? I'm amazed when I think about all the parts of an engine just working. And get in a vehicle and ride down the road. How it all works together is beyond my comprehension. But far more complex than an automobile is our natural body. And it's amazing to me that all the systems of the body, that they all, whenever they're under the blessings of God, that all the systems in this body can all function together and there be perfect health and blessings in a natural body. The same thing's true of a church. The only way that a church body can be of one mind and one accord is if the whole body is working and laboring together. Because sometimes the devil will get into a church and there will be what is described here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as divisions in the body. Does everybody follow that? You think the devil is happy whenever there's a church that's united together, that's working and functioning together? The devil despises that. The devil doesn't want a family to work together. Every one of you families that are together, you better watch out because the devil is going to do something. Whenever there's a family that's functioning the way the Word of God says to function, when you have a husband that loves his wife the way Christ loves the church, and a wife that loves her husband and reverences her, and you have parents that love their children and are trying to take care of their children, and children that are honoring their parents, and you have a home the way the Word of God describes a home as being, the devil is going to attack that home. Same thing's true of a church. When you have a church that's functioning the way the Word of God teaches that it should function, the devil is going to attack that church. And when it attacks, it's important that we know what God's Word says to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, now he says that there should be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now here's what Paul says in verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, are they still brothers in Christ? You know, brethren, if you read the first part of this chapter, you'll find he's writing, the Apostle Paul is writing unto the church at Corinth. I don't know after reading the Corinthian letter if I would have even called it a church. Because it was in as big a mess as anything could possibly be. And yet God had love and mercy and compassion. And what did he do? He wrote and instructed the church, here's the way to fix all these problems. And the Apostle Paul identified all kinds of problems, yet every problem could be fixed. Isn't that a wonderful and marvelous thing? So there were divisions in the body, and he says, it hath been clear to me that there are divisions. There are some of you that you say that you're of the... there are some of you... Listen to verse 11. He says, it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? That's the question that he's asking. Is Christ divided? Christ is not divided. And what are we? We are the body of Christ. Christ is not divided, and the body of Christ should not be divided. He comes on in chapter 3. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the first thing that we're trying to look at tonight is the importance of unity and harmony in the body. The importance of all the members of the body functioning and working and laboring together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? In other words, he's saying, instead of functioning as a church, what are they walking as? They're just walking as plain old men would walk. There was envying and divisions and strife and contentions. He says, while one saith, I'm of Paul, another of Paul, I of Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, what's the difference in being natural man and a carnal man and a spiritual man? What's the difference? A natural man is one that has not been born of the Spirit of God. That's just a natural man. He doesn't have God dwelling in him. Now, a born-again child of God, when he is following the leadership of the Spirit of God and is walking in obedience to the teachings and commandments of God, that's called a spiritual man. But in between that is a child of God that's been born of the Spirit of God but is not following God as he should, and that's called a what? That's called a carnal man. And he says, now the church at Corinth, instead of being a spiritual church, was a carnal church. It was a body that was divided. It was a body that was not walking as Christians are supposed to walk. So he says, are you not yet carnal? Come down to verse 6. In verse 6 he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, I want every one of you to stop saying that I'm following Paul, and somebody else say, well, I'm following this man, says, you just stop all that, because it's not me you're supposed to be following, it's Jesus Christ. And the whole function of the church is to be following the head of the body, and the only head, it's not a two-headed church, it's a one-headed church, and the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And isn't it marvelous when the body can function under the leadership of the head, and then God pours His blessings out on the church. He says in verse, I want you to look still in chapter 3 just a moment. Look at verse 9. In verse 9 he says, for we are laborers together with God. Isn't that marvelous? We are all laborers. That's what we are. We're not a bunch of chiefs. We're all laborers. We're all just common laborers. But rather, there's nothing better than to be a laborer in the house of God. Didn't David say that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of his God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness? Rather than to be a part of the house of God and to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ is the greatest blessing that we can have in this world. To be able to understand the truth of God's Word and to work and labor together with brothers and sisters in Christ who love Jesus and love the truth of God is a wonderful blessing. And that's what Paul says in verse 9. We are laborers together. I want everybody here to understand. Sister Robin, you're just signed up to be a laborer, by the way. You just signed up to be you didn't sign up to be the queen bee. You signed up to be a laborer. A laborer. That's what everybody else has signed up for. Understand that. We are laborers together of God. We are servants of Jesus Christ. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to be a servant of God and to be laboring together with the Lord. Paul said he was thankful to be a laborer and a servant of Jesus Christ. So we are laborers together with God. When we're working together and laboring together, who else is there with us when we're working together and laboring together? God is there with us. So we're laborers together, that is, we're laboring with each other to one common cause, but we're laboring together with God and under the blessings of God. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Brethren, it's up to God to keep the church going. You can't motivate the Spirit of God. You can't pull a string and have the Spirit of God do what's necessary in order for the church to function as it should. It takes the power of God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, as we're talking about unity and harmony, it's also important to understand that sometimes there has to be division in order to be unity. That doesn't make sense to some people, but that's the teaching of God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And remember now, all of this is under this umbrella of 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a problem in the church at Corinth, and that is that there was a member of the church that was having relations with his father's wife. 1 Corinthians 5, look at verses 1 and 2. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he which hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. What was the church? The church was proud that they wouldn't put anybody out of the church. Come down to verses 5 and 6. The Apostle Paul says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Do you understand the purpose of putting this man out of the church? What was the purpose? To save the man. He's saying you're putting him out to destroy the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. Is that not what happened to this man? You go home and read 2 Corinthians, and you'll find that that's exactly what happened to this man. The man was saved. He was put out of the church, but then he was saved right back to the church. That's the purpose of church discipline. He says in verse 6, your glorying is not good. What were they glorying in? They were glorying in the fact that they had not judged this brother. They were glorying in the fact that they didn't put him out of the church. They were glorying in the false belief that love means you don't carry out discipline. That was their glorying. And your glorying, he says, is not good. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. What happens to a human body if you have cancer and you just ignore that cancer? What happens to that cancer? Does it just go away? Not unless God performs a miracle. Now God can perform a miracle and it can go away. But typically and normally when a cancer is left unattended and untreated, that cancer is going to spread. If you have gangrene in your hand and you don't treat it and cut out some of that dead flesh and infected flesh, that gangrene is going to spread through your body and it will destroy the whole body, the natural body. He says, likewise, a little leaven in the church will destroy the whole church. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I had one preacher that I was trying to study with this past week, and he said, Brother Billy, he said, the problem we have is that we wouldn't have any church left if we ever started carrying out church discipline. Because he said, we have drunkards and we have adulterers and we have anything you can think about is in the church. Now, that's a sad situation to be in. Do you know how it got that way? It got that way because a little leaven, it didn't start out just boom and be that what it was. It started out because a little leaven was ignored. And what did it eventually do? More adultery, more drunkenness, more sin, until the whole body was leavened. And now the pastor has to say, well, we can't do any church discipline because it would just destroy the whole body. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Why do you do surgery? Sister Michelle, why did you have surgery? Was it because you didn't like that part of your body? No, that's not it. That's not the purpose of surgery, because you don't like that part of your body. Is to save the body, the whole church body. Look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. He says this, but now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without, that is outside the church? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without, those outside the church, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, in the midst of all of this division in the church and the adultery that was in the church, everything else that was there, he still, at this point in time, he still called it a church. And he wrote to the church, he says, now fix these problems. That was the essence of this letter, is fix these problems, work on these things. And I think it's a wonderful thing that we have a God that is merciful and gracious and will say to us, work on these problems, fix these problems. And they can be fixed. There is never a problem in your personal life or in your family. There's never a problem in your marriage. There's never a problem in the church. There's never a problem in our nation that cannot be fixed if we'll just get back to the Word of God. It'll always work. God's way is the only way, but it will always work. So the church was given a time to repent, and they did. And so the second letter writes, it's a completely different letter when you read 2 Corinthians. It's almost like a different church, and it is a different church because the church has made the necessary changes for God to pour His blessings out on the church. In fact, look at the last thing he said in 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The last thing that Paul wrote in the second epistle, and there's a lot of commending them in the second letter, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, listen how he closes the book out now. The church has made a lot of corrections, and he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort." Now listen carefully to this. "Be of one mind." What did he start the whole 1 Corinthians off with? There were divisions way back there. Now they had corrected those problems in the beginning of 2 Corinthians, and the divisions were not there. But what's he saying? Stay on top of this problem. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Brethren, there ought to be total peace among the members of the body. Live in peace, and what then will God do? "And the God of love and peace shall be with you." When will God be with His church and bless His church? When the church does what the Word of God tells us to do. When we listen to the head and do what the head says and function the way the head tells us to function, the whole body will be fitly joined together, working together, laboring together to the honor and glory of God, and then the God of peace shall be with us and manifest His presence in an abundant way. Now, go with me to another thing that I think is important in the church. And Sister Robin, this is kind of a sermon to you, but it's a sermon to all the church. Sister Robin is a new member of the church. Every time that we have someone join the church, I always try to preach on the church because I want the church to be reminded of your responsibility. Does the church have a responsibility to Sister Robin? Does the church have a great responsibility to Sister Robin? Absolutely. And to every other member of the church, you have a tremendous responsibility. The Bible says that we're to do good to all men, especially unto the household of faith. Now, we have a special new interest. We've always loved you. I think I was there the day you were born. And we've always loved you. And I don't think we love you anymore today, but our responsibility, and there is a special bond now that wasn't there before. There's a special bond as you being a part of the church. A person, a Christian who was already living as a Christian, but a Christian who has testified, "I love Jesus. I want to be a part of His church. I want to be a part of His body. I want to take up my cross in water baptism. I confess that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ." That's a great blessing. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, listen carefully. The first thing I want you to remember, Sister Robin, is you have a responsibility to work towards keeping unity in the church, okay? If you hear Sister Doris saying that Sister Bethany is not doing something right, you get Sister Doris by the arm and you take her to Sister Bethany and say, "Folks, we're going to sit down and talk." Don't you take what she says. You go fix the problem. Work on the problem. Anytime you hear something about another member of the church, you have a responsibility to bind the body back together, every member of the body. If any of you ever hear that Sister Robin is doing anything wrong, you take the person that you heard it from and you go to Sister Robin and you try to get to the root of the problem. And if she has a problem, then you work with her to help save her from the error of her way. And if it's a false report, then you save that brother that gave the false report. You save him from the error of his way. But you work the problem out. Hebrews chapter 13, listen please to verse 1. Here's the second thing I want you to think about. And that is, the Word of God says, "Let brotherly love continue." Let brotherly love continue. Does our love for people sometimes stop? Does it sometimes not continue? Certainly it does, brethren. If you think you love everybody now that you loved 20 years ago, you deceive yourself. Love stops. We're not God. We're human beings. But God tells us as human beings who are born again Christians, He says, "Let brotherly love" what? Continue. Keep it going. Do the things that are necessary to let brotherly love continue. Don't let brotherly love stop. I hope that as long as we live, that we'll work to let brotherly love continue. Keep it going. And not just keep on loving one another, but keep it growing. Listen, brethren, my love for you ought to be continuing, not just maintaining at one level, But my love for you ought to be continuing to grow. I ought to love you more. I know I do. I love my wife a lot more today than I did even 5 years ago. And I love her so much more than the day I married her. I thought I loved her more than any human could love a woman when I married her. But I love her so much more and in so many other ways now than I did then. Brotherly love needs to continue growing. Brother Andy, I love you now, but I hope I love you more and more and more. Do you see how brotherly love needs to continue besides just keeping on going? It needs to keep on growing. And one other thing about brotherly love continuing is that right now you may love 100 people a lot or you may love 200 people a lot. Well, let your brotherly love continue to go to more and more and more people. There are so many children of God right here in this community, brethren, that we need to love and keep loving and show more love one to another. Let brotherly love continue towards one another. Let it continue to grow and let brotherly love spread out. You ought to love a lot more people in 2 weeks than you love today. You ought to keep on letting brotherly love continue. One final thing about the church, and I'll close with this, is in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The first thing I want you to remember, Sister Robin, is there needs to always be unity in the church. Second thing is, let brotherly love continue. And the third thing is that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." There's a definition there of the church. The definition that's given here is the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Some people say, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. It matters to God. It may not matter to some people, but it matters to God because God says that His church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Jesus says, "Thy word is what? Truth." Brethren, if we are not trying to follow the truth of God's word, then we cease to be the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus says that God said, "They that worship Him," God is a spirit, "and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Brethren, it's wrong to endorse and ignore false doctrines. If I preach something that's not in harmony with God's Word, you have a personal responsibility to come to me and show me the error of my way. Can I err from the truth? Can I err from the truth? Absolutely. James 5:19 and 20 says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth." Can you err from the truth? Absolutely. Can you err from the truth, the doctrinal truth of God's Word? Can you err from that? Absolutely. Can you err from the truth of practical godly living? Yes. You can err. You can stop walking in the truth. You can stop believing the truth. And so he says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death." Sister Robin, you need to be him. You need to buy the truth. Buy the truth. Am I telling you, go buy a Bible? You got a Bible, don't you? Probably have 2 or 3 Bibles. You got plenty of Bibles. But you need to take the Bible and you need to buy the truth. You need to study the Word of God. You need to know what the Word of God says. You need to know the truth of God's Word. Because as a member of the church and as a child of God, the truth is very, very important. I hope that God will help all of us, not just Sister Robin. Oh, brethren, every one of us, we're members of the church. We have a tremendous responsibility to watch over one another for good. And if anybody ever errs from the truth, we've got to work and labor to convert them and get them back into the truth. May God help us to love one another. Let brotherly love continue. May God help us to be established in the truth. And may God help us to be as a body that is fitly joined together, is my prayer for Christ's sake.